the God of the storm. It says, however, we must run aground on a certain island. But when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they had took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. I want to spend a few moments this morning looking at these verses and examining them. The first thing I want to do is go back up to verse 26, and it says, however, we must run aground on a certain island. And if you've been following this series with us, you know that an angel appeared to Paul and told him what was going to happen. Told him that everyone was going to live, they were going to lose the ship, and that there was a destination for them. So in verse 26, I want to point out a couple of things to you. The first thing I want you to see is this. This storm had a destination where God was taking them. This storm had a destination where God was taking them. Sometimes when we go through the storms of life, we don't sit down and think through that maybe God is taking us places that we would not normally go. I'm not saying every storm operates that way, but I'm going to give you something to think about. God may want you to change something in your life. He might want to take you a different direction. He might want to do something in you, but because we don't like change, the only way that God can get us sometime to do the things that he wants us to do or go to the places that he wants us to go, he sends a storm our way. Malta was not on the ship's docket. There was nobody up in the captain's area going, okay, now we've left this place, now the next stop is going to be Malta. Malta wasn't the plan. And there's probably not one person here that hasn't had a change in their life that wasn't in the plan. We've all been there. You've experienced it. I've experienced it. A storm comes in, whether you lose your job, whether it is your health, whether it's a loss of the loved one, whatever it may be, but the storm comes in and it completely changes the dynamic of our life. And then it takes us places where we never thought we would go, or places that we never thought we would end up. Storms will do that, and this storm is the same way. But Paul says that there is a certain island. The idea here is that there is a specific place. Now, Paul doesn't tell them that he knows where they're going. He may and he may not. But he does know that there is a destination, and the purpose of the storm is to get him to the destination so God can use him in the island of Malta. There is over 200 people on this ship, and I want you to see something. This storm didn't just affect Paul. It affected everybody on the boat. God was willing to change the direction of the lives of over 200 people to use one man on the island of Malta to tell them that Jesus Christ loves them. Storms affect the lives of the people around us. The next thing that I want you to see is in verse 27. It says, but when the 14th night had come. Now, there's a few things that I want you to see about this. The first thing is this, is that we do not know how long the storm will last. It would be nice when we would go through storms if God would come to us and say, listen, this one's only going to last 3 days. If this one's only going to last 3 months, this might take a year. The reality is that when the storms of life come blowing in, we have no idea how long it will last. And there are people sitting in the pews here. The storm has blown into your life, and it wasn't a 1 month, and it wasn't a 2 month, and it wasn't a 3 month. Some of you, when the storm blew in, it has touched your life, and you're going to live that way the rest of your life. Just the way it is. Dawn's sister was diagnosed 20 years ago with MS. When we visit her, we watch how the MS is taking its toll on her. And not that God can't. I believe God can heal her at any time he wants to. but he has chosen not to yet. But we're watching the storm. She received the news 20 years ago, and we've watched her gradually lose her health. I can point out to others of you that had strokes, that you haven't got your health back, and that you've broken legs and arms and limbs and all kinds of things, and you're still limping. I mean, all of these things to say that some storms come in, and the effect of the storm isn't for some short time, and then we get better, and we bounce back up on our feet. The effects of those storms, we may end up carrying with us for the entirety of our life to our grave. As with any storm, we want them to end as soon as possible. When storms begin, our response is, God, why is this happening? I don't like it. And how long will this last? Of which God, as always, is totally silent and doesn't give you a clue to what is happening or how long it will go on. The storm will last as long as God deems necessary. There's four things that I want you to see about that statement. The first one is this. If God is trying to accomplish a purpose in your life, the storm will last as long as it needs to till you get it. For Paul, the storm was taking him to Malta. And it was more than a 3-day storm. It was more than a 6-day storm. It was 14 nights. And I want you to see that. They were tossed around up and down on the Adriatic Sea. It was totally in charge. It was totally in control. And there was nothing that they could do about it. So there's a few things I want to point out to you. Not only will it accomplish God's purpose, but the next thing is this. The storm could be taking you to a new location. Sometimes God wants people to move. Maybe a job offer. Maybe something comes along and you, oh, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to leave. But then something happens at the old job where all of a sudden you're faced with, well, if I don't take this offer, I won't have a job at all. What happened? The storm moved you. We get comfortable where we are. We don't want to make moves. We like how things are. We want things to be settled and in order. We want to, you know, that's how we want it to be, but storms don't operate that way. And if God has a place for you to go, he could be taking that storm, could be relocating you, physically relocating you somewhere else. The storm, instead of relocating you, could be taking you to new spiritual depths. Or places of maturity that you would have never been before. So it doesn't have to be a location. It could be just you growing in Christ. Changing the way you see. Changing the way that you look at things. Changing the way that you approach God. There can be a depth of maturity that comes to us in the midst of the storms that we go to. Storm could be of your own doing. Maybe it's something that you did, ran yourself too deep in debt, got caught doing this, got caught doing that. And your storm could be the lessons learned from your own conduct and from your own actions. Verse 27, then, it is this, the part B of that, the next sentence, it says, as we were driven up and down the Adriatic Sea. The power of this storm, and it was called a Euroclydon, it's basically a hurricane coming in. The storm was totally in control of the ship. Now, you guys have been there. You've been through storms. You've had the diagnoses that you find out there's no cure for it, or that the chemo's not going to work, or that when it's MS, you take shots and there's no cure for it. You just take shots to try to help so that the exacerbations don't take more of your muscle control over. It's a horrible thing. One of the things that is so frustrating for you and I as human beings is we don't want to be out of control. I want to be in control of my circumstances. I want to be in control of the direction that I am going. I want to be in control of what's happening to me. But storms don't give us that ability. the storm takes us where it wants to go. The next part of verse 27, it says this, then about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. Their years and years of experience at sea were telling them that the things they were kind of hearing and how things were starting to sound is that maybe they were getting close to the sea or getting close to the shore. And what I love about this is because in the middle of every storm, all of us need some light at the end of the tunnel. Something that is out there that tells us that this thing is going to come to a close. This thing is going to end at some point. When the doctor tells you, you know, we did the repairs of the surgery and you've only got another 3 weeks to go and we'll take the cast off. You're going, yeah, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Or you're given the chemotherapy and they go, we did a PET scan and it looks like things are clearing up. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. We all want that little bit of hope, that little glimmer of something that the storms and the wind and the rain and the power of the storms is going to bring us to a place where this is all going to end and we can have some hope again. So these guys are saying, we're getting near land. We got to be getting close. We can tell we're getting close. So then in verse 28, what do? It says that they took soundings. So as they took soundings and found that they were at 20 fathoms, roughly that's 120 feet. And when they had gone a little bit further, they took soundings again and found they were at 15 fathoms or around 90 feet. Now how they did this, there was a plenum or a weight at the end of a rope, and every foot there was a knot, and that was a phantom. And what they would do then is they would lower it down, and when they could tell that it was dragging on the ground, they could pull it up and see where it was and say, okay, it's this many knots. And the knots could tell them how deep it was. So what I did in my book is I'm going to share this with you. I call this the seven knots in the rope of our response. So let me share them with you. Number one, it is this. Knot one. Are we responding with faith and trust in God, or do we respond in doubt? God, I don't understand why I'm going through this, but I'm going to trust you. Or are we saying, God, why is this happening to me? And if this is what it's like serving you, I don't want anything to do with it. What is our response? It's not one. Not two in our response. Are we going to react with anger, or will we allow the peace of God to take precedent in our storm? I don't know of anybody that hasn't been mad at God hardly one time or another, at least upset. And I remember when I went through it. I remember the first time that I experienced the loss of a loved one. I remember when my dad passed away, and it was a storm. It kind of came up out of nowhere. We were just there days earlier celebrating my mom and dad's wedding anniversary, and then the next thing, we pull in. We drove all night to get back to Ohio because we had church the next day, and we pulled in, and the phone was ringing when we walked in, and I answered the phone, and it was my brother at the other end saying, get back home. Dad died last night of a heart attack. So I called a couple of my board members. They took care of the service. We repacked everything, headed back up to over here to Harvard, Illinois, is where my parents were living at the time, packed everything up and headed back up there. And I just remember, and I'm the one that did the funeral service. And so I remember getting there. And then I remember afterwards, this anger settled into my soul. When you're the pastor of a church and you're mad at God, it's tough to get sermons, by the way. Just saying. But I had to deal with it. I had to work through it and talk to God and get things taken care of. Since then, I have learned that when we lose people, it's life. No one lives forever. We love to see everybody to live to be 90 and 100. That would be awesome. But they don't. I've done funerals for children, infants. I've done them for children as old as age 7 laying in a casket because they died of a disease. And I've done funerals for people up near 100. But we don't know. But I've learned that response means everything. And now I've learned to let the peace of God have rule in my heart when I go through the storms. Okay, not number three, it is this. Do we respond with confusion or with confidence? Job was the recipient of a full-on satanic attack. His lands, his livestock, his servants, his home, his children, everything was destroyed. One servant came in and said, Job, you're losing this and this and this. And as soon as that one is saying it, another one comes in and says, oh, your children are dead. And oh, another one comes in and says, all of your livestock has been hauled away by the enemy. And everything that he had was absolutely destroyed and gone. Job's response can be found in Job chapter 1 and verse 22. And it says, in all of this, Job did not sin or charge, which means accuse God with wrong. Matter of fact, the rest of that says, it's easy. So do we just accept the blessings from God and get mad when we go through the tough stuff? Not number four. When storms come in, do we pray or do we blame God? Now, I have to admit, I jotted down here in the book, it is easy to blame other people for our problems because what that does, it puts no responsibility on us to get over it. You know, I am where I am today because of that. It's their fault. Which you know as well as I do that that never works because there's never healing never comes with blaming others. It just, you'll never get better. And besides that, even if it is somebody else's fault, it's done now. Now we got to work through it and get over it. Not number five. Release control to God. Now this is one of the most difficult ones we have as human beings, as I've already mentioned. I like being in control. You like being in control. We always fight about who's going to be in control. But there's some storms that we go through, they teach us that God is the one that has to be in control and we have to trust Him. Not number six, be prepared to ride out the storm alone. Be prepared to ride out the storm alone. Now, I don't mean that negatively. As believers, we're never going through the storm alone. And if you have been through some of the difficulties of life, if you look back and you sit there and go, how did you ever get through that? You know how you got through it. God's presence was there. Now, you may not have recognized it at the time because of all the stuff going on, but when you look back, that's how you got through it. God's presence was there. When I say this, I'm saying that, you know what? You may be going through a storm alone because everybody that is your family and friends and people around you, when you start going through some storms, you know what? You may be the only one there. You might be thinking, well, I know if I have a hard time, so-and-so will always be there. And you start having a hard time and so-and-so is no place to be in sight. Oh, if anything happens, I can count on him. Wonder where he's at now. You see, some storms we go through alone, one reason is this. You've got to learn to trust God, not other people. Well, that's the way it is. We've got to learn to trust God and not other people. And people will fail us. Going back to our buddy Job here, Job chapter 2 and verse 9. Job, his wife says, you need to curse God and die. Now, there is spousal support. She didn't say, now, Job, we're in this together. We've built this together. We've lost it together. We're going to rebuild it together. Job, you're my husband. I'll never leave you. I'm on your side. She looks at him as he is scraping the boils from his body, and she says, "My advice to you is to curse the God you serve and die." He was alone. God takes us to places where it is just you and him. It's not that other people don't care. And sometimes when we go through things, other people are helpless. Because God says, "I'm going to talk to you, Burles, and I can't do that if this person helps, and if this person helps, and if this happens, and this happens. I want it to be me and you." "Okay, God, you got my attention. What do you want?" We go through them alone. Then the final one, not number seven, is this. And in the book, you'll read it, but I remember watching a documentary on one of those channels, and they were talking about the effects of hurricanes as they come in to the Florida coast. And I thought it was interesting because there were two effects when the storm came in. One effect is that if there's things buried in the bottom of the ocean, the power of the storm can wash things up on shore. And as I looked at this, is that I jotted down in my book, there are things that lie underneath the surface of all of us that we keep hidden. And sometimes God wants to deal with us, and we don't want him dealing with us, and we don't want to see it. We don't want it revealed. And God says, "But I'm going to reveal it." And the storm brings things up to the surface that's buried. Not to humiliate, not to embarrass, not to condemn, so that God can deal with what is hidden. The second response to that then is the storm can also take things and pull them out and bury them even deeper. I've met people that have gone through life with things buried. They clam up. They don't trust anybody. They close themselves off to loved ones, people that can help them, and they just close up. Bitterness and anger can settle in. The storm will take things and bury it even deeper than it was before. "No, I'm not dealing with that." "Yeah, but it happened 20 years ago. "Nope, not talking about it." You see, it's just buried deeper. We got to make a choice. My hope is that as the storms blow in, that it makes us better, matures us, helps us deal with things that God wants us to deal with. But then some storms will make people take things and just bury it deeper and not deal with it at all. You got to have a response to the storm, and those are the seven responses there. And the worst part is when people close themselves off, they don't only close themselves off to maybe people that can help them, but they're also closing themselves off to God helping them because they don't want anything to do with him. We have responses to storms, and we need to measure out our maturity level to see what our depth is as we take sounding, spiritually speaking, to find out where we are with Christ and in the storm. All right, next week we will take a look at dropping the four anchors and all the other things that are there. Would you please stand? Just in our own small congregation here, I know people well enough to know that you've been through some storms. My encouragement to you is to allow God to minister a healing to you, strengthen you, getting you, man, right on that path of walking with him. And just realize there's not one person that's standing right now that hasn't been through a storm in life. Maybe you've been through two or three. As long as we live, you know what? I might hit two or three more storms. I don't know. But I do know one thing. I have to trust him. I have to trust him. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you this morning. Storms do test our spiritual depth, our maturity, helping us grow up, helping us respond to you in the right way. I ask, Lord God, right now, as each person leaves this place, I ask, Lord God, that the Spirit of God would just speak to them. Lord, if they've hardened their heart, soften it. If they've closed out people, may they open up. If they've pointed an accusing finger at you, may they ask for forgiveness and understanding that, like Job, Satan is the one that brings the storms in to hurt us. We turn to you for the strength. Whatever else they may be going through, God, that your presence would touch them. And I pray, Lord God, as they go home this afternoon, that you would just be with them. These things we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Shake